Sometimes it actually hurts us, but it helps us if we will receive it. I'll tell you one thing about the Lord. He's not trying to hurt anybody with His truth. He's trying to help you overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, so that you can live in victory and so that He can shelter you under the covert of His wings. And I don't know about you, but that's the warmest, safest place I know of in this world. Can you say, man, walking righteously before the Lord is a wonderful, powerful thing. It doesn't mean sinless perfection, because no one ever achieved that but Jesus. No one. Absolutely no one. And if anyone declares they have, then they're self-righteous, and that's a glaring sin that God rejects. He rejects the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Well, I want to be in that position to receive the grace of God today. So I stay. There's all kinds of things that humble me. Just when I think I'm walking in such victory in my personal life, something will come along to show me how weak my flesh really is, and how I need to repent, and how I need to receive the grace that He offers people, that sufficient grace, Sister Pamela, that He offers weak people. Amen. One translation of Paul's words was so beautiful, because it says, where it says, his strength is perfected in weakness, it says His strength shows up best in weak people. Can you say amen? If you're considered a powerful, strong person, and God is strengthening you, and all people perceive you as powerful and strong and a mighty person, then, you know, God's grace isn't really showing up that great in you. But if everyone knows your weaknesses, and they know that you're just as human, and you make mistakes, and you have fallacies, and yet they see God sustaining you, and they see you always being earnest and honest before God, and transparent, and praying, they see your sincerity and your true integrity, and they will respect you for it with your imperfections. Can you say amen? So I'm going to minister to weak people today, because I want everybody here to acknowledge that. And I don't think I have much of a problem with that. All of you that's been a Christian a while has lived long enough to need grace and forgiveness and to go through repentance. But that doesn't change the fact that you are Christian today. And Christians get up. And Christians go on. And God is gracious to us, and He keeps us with His keeping power. So we just want to encourage you to live the perfect life before God, knowing that there will be times when you need to repent, and knowing that God is going to listen when you do from the heart, pick you up and shore you up and help you along in life. Praise God. We thank you for your giving today. It's been a joyous thing to be with people that have, and I'm going to take this one off and let Doug kind of mess with it, because it's not operational today, but I have this backup microphone. Amen. That'll be just fine. I have a cord that if need be, I can come out there. So don't make me come out there. Amen. God is good today. We love you so very much. Thank you for your giving of yourself, your time, your talent, your ability, your sweat. We can talk all day long in terms of our gratitude. God does more than that. What the Lord does, amen, is bless you for it. Amen. He said, I will open the heavens, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to contain it. The people He addressed in Malachi 3 were people that lived in an agriculturally driven economy. For the pasture lands, for the sheep, there had to be green growing grass to feed them with. Can you say amen? For the crops that they raised, the wheat and the grains, they had to have the pleasant rains, not the one that gully washers that washed off the topsoil, but the gentle saturating rains that would cause those crops to grow. When He said, I will open the windows of heaven, He wasn't talking about the heavens where the holy city is. He was literally talking about the skies. That when He opens the heavens, He sends the rains. Everybody say, when He opens the heavens, He sends the rain. And what He did was He let the gentle rains, He literally sent gentle rains, saturating rains upon their crops and their pasture lands, so that they were lush and they were green. And He said, I'm going to bless you for blessing the work of the Lord. And I'm going to bless you in this way. Amen. And so that's a wonderful, powerful scriptural promise. Amen. He that sows liberally, amen, will be blessed liberally. He that sows bountifully is going to receive. Give given of yourself, your time, your talent, all that you have, all that you are. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, and running over. Men shall give unto your bosom. It's always an overflow. Can you say amen? It's always an overflow. Praise God. Amen. It's always an overflow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because that's how God is. He's lavish in His blessings. And I appreciate Him so much. Amen. Just your health today is a blessing that money can't buy. Bill Gates, with all of his billions, cannot buy, amen, a healthy body should something go wrong in it. Amen. God can bless your body. He can bless every part of your life. And He does. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank You today. We have blessed people for being a blessing. You open the windows of heaven. Father, You know how to bless our life in such a way that we have everything that we have need of from You. And we give You praise for it today. It's grace and mercy that provides this blessing. It's our obedience to Your word and Your will, Lord, that qualifies us for it. Lord, we just thank You so very much today for Your blessing upon our obedience as we give again this morning. And everyone said amen and amen. Gracious is the Lord. Great is He. And He'll give you, yes, praise God, hallelujah. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to go back to something I did not finish. I want to try to finish a series that we were on this morning, because the Lord simply said to return to it. And I can tell by the beginning of this service that He wants us to understand more and more about becoming a true worshiper. You may assume that you are a true worshiper and that everything you do at church constitutes true worship. Well, that may be and it may not be. I want to make very sure that what I offer the Lord is an acceptable sacrifice unto Him. Let me make one thing very clear. In the Old Testament, worship system and sacrificial system is vital to understanding New Testament worship. One of the things that we need to understand is that God prescribes what is acceptable unto Him. When they made the oil that was going to be used, the incense that was going to be used in the temple and the oil, He prescribed the ingredients. And once He prescribed the ingredients, amen, man couldn't offer any other recipe unto God. He couldn't come up with His own recipe, no matter how well intended, amen, because that would have been an arrogant disobedience of what God had prescribed. God prescribes, amen, what He accepts as true worship. There was anointing oil. And there was incense and everything that went into it, amen. He told them the exact amount. Did you know Colonel Sanders, who started Kentucky Fried Chicken, because at 60 years of age, he started Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise. So if you think you're too old for God to do something big in your life, just look at Colonel Sanders. I don't know what his relationship with the Lord, but I know after 60, he made it through a crisis. You may have had a crisis that puts you at a disadvantage financially. Well, maybe you would never find the new and better thing God has if the old and just get by thing hadn't closed out. There is a comfort zone in just making it, because you do make it, but you just barely make it. Can you say amen? And when that closes out, God, I believe many times, lets the door close to open up a bigger and better door in our life. Amen. And we would never discover it if the other one didn't close. We really wouldn't. So what they did with Colonel Sanders, if you know his story, they made a freeway that took all of the business from his little chicken restaurant. There was one little chicken restaurant that he owned, and he had a recipe for chicken, and people loved to go to his chicken restaurant and have Southern Fried Chicken. Can you say amen? But they put a freeway up, and all the cars left that area that came through, and so his business went down to almost nothing, just the local people in the little community. So he decided, we need to get out near the interstate. We need to get out where the people are. And at 60 years old, amen, he borrowed money and he began to put up a restaurant near the interstate. They began to pull in Love the Chicken. He built another and another and another and another. And they're all overseas in Europe. There's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Amen. He's not around anymore. And stockholders and other people own the business. But it all goes back to a 60-year-old man that had a door closed in his life. But let me tell you something. I just read in the Tribune about 2 weeks ago that the Colonel Sanders recipe, the exact amount of the secret herbs and spices that give it that distinct taste, are kept in an area that, because other people who fry chicken would like to have that recipe, just like the Coca-Cola recipe, the Pepsi recipe, it is under heavy security. And the Colonel Sanders recipe, they figured it was in a locked room that only certain people had the key. And then you get in the locked room, and then you go to this file cabinet, and you know, you open it up. And they decided, no, that's not enough. We need a safe in the locked room, not just a file cabinet. We need, if they get past the door into the room, which would be pretty easy, we need them to hit a safe with it. We want to protect that formula because it is a unique, specific formula that cannot be duplicated. And that's why Kentucky Fried Chicken's where you have to go to get a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Can you say amen? Pamela can't make it, and Alice can't make it. Can you say amen? But that formula is there. God had a formula for the incense that would be offered. Remember when they offered strange fire in the temple? Well, what were they doing? They were offering their own formula. They were offering what they had made up to offer God instead of what God had stipulated. See, worship always is prescribed by God. What he receives and what we offer is two different things. That's why the Bible said if you're going to be a half-hearted follower of Jesus, forget about worshiping God. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because anything less is unacceptable. So if I'm going to walk out that door and not acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of my life and make a concerted effort to truly follow him, I'm not talking about being sinlessly perfect. Amen. I'm talking about being perfectly sincere in my commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Then when I come in here and start singing, and I may even get sentimental feelings when I sing a worship song to God. I may actually feel great while I'm singing it. But he won't accept it unless it's coming from a heart that is pure and committed. Amen? Amen? Everybody say pure and committed. So there's a whole lot of people thought that they worship God because they showed up at a church service, sang along with the song leader, sang along with the choir. God says, no, that's not what constitutes true worship. God prescribes it. And the foundation for all of it is Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be no more conformed to the world. You can't be just like the world all week and suddenly show up on Sunday and become a worshiper of God. Amen? You can't talk the talk unless you're willing to start walking the walk. And God wants to challenge us this morning to walk the walk. So when we talk the talk, there's validity to it. Offer your body, I beseech you by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, perfect, here's that word again, and acceptable, and acceptable, and acceptable, and acceptable. The issue isn't what you're offering, even from a sincere heart. The issue is it what God has prescribed? Is it acceptable unto the Lord? I don't want to spin my wheels here. I want to offer some. Listen, when they offered sacrifices acceptably in the Old Testament, many times the fire would come out of heaven and consume the sacrifice to validate to them and verify unto them that God had received it because it was offered in the prescribed manner. And it wasn't just the formulas. It was the heart. when they offered the incense without their heart being filled with gratitude to the Lord, he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you no sacrifice is acceptable if it doesn't start with a heart attitude. It's not just an activity. Some churches will teach you how to worship in more of a physical sense. Song leaders and praise leaders will encourage you to clap your hands or to dance or to wave your arms before the Lord to do something physical, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that in and of itself, without the heart being filled with gratitude, is not acceptable to the Lord. We can get people who dance interpretive dance. David danced before the Lord. But just the dance in itself is not what God is looking for. He's looking for a heart that is so filled with gratitude it overflows in praise. So just the dance or just the waving of the arms or the carrying of a banner does not necessarily mean we're true worshipers. On the other hand, there may be a saint sitting there that's not so demonstrative. But in their heart of hearts, where God looks, everybody say, where God looks. Where God looks. And where God sees, man looks on what? But where does God look? Past all of that. Into something that qualifies or disqualifies anything else we do or say. He looks into the heart. Amen? That's something we need to understand about God. He knows right now why I'm preaching. He knows if I'm preaching for money. He knows if I'm preaching for fame. By the way, it's pretty easy to figure that one out. Don't take God to figure that one out. I'm not going to get rich and famous with my ministry as it is right now. And even if I got rich and famous, amen, I'd have to stay in the same state of attitude I am right now for God to really bless me. I couldn't preach for the money, and I couldn't preach for the fame in order to sustain God's true blessing. I could get people's blessing, but I'm not talking about that. There's things people can't do. I was healed of cancer at 8 going on 9 or 8 years old, 7 going on 8, really somewhere in my 8th year is where it happened. I don't know if I was closer to 7, closer to 9, but that's where it happened. You can't buy that with money. Famous people are not exempt from those kind of things. God did it. Amen. It's God's supernatural blessing, God's intervention, things that can't be bought with money, things that all of the applause of man cannot do for you, God did for me. Hallelujah. And I owe him a debt of gratitude this morning. But the greatest thing he did is when he forgave all of my sin at 12 years of age. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then when he forgave me again at 21, when I made a full-blown commitment and I did something that he says constitutes the basis for all of my worship of the Lord and service of the Lord, I offered him at 21, going on 22, my body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which was my reasonable service, literally rendered in the Greek, which was my spiritual worship. Everybody say, my spiritual worship. We've talked about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and we in the Pentecostal circuit believe that's the person who jumps the highest and shouts the loudest. That's the person who runs the aisle or falls out or gets holy laughter. Honey, that is not what he's talking about. Those are blessings, period. I've seen people get the blessing, but they didn't get the greater blessing of a fellowship relationship with God that satisfies the deepest longings of the soul. I've seen people where husband and wife got holy laughter and then divorced 6 months later. I'm talking about victory. I'm not talking about a blessing. I'm talking about a life that exhibits and demonstrates the presence and power of God within it. Hallelujah. I've seen people speak in tongues and then absolutely cut people to pieces with that same tongue. Bitter and sweet water doesn't flow from the same fountain. You can't mingle flesh and spirit and be a true worshiper. True worshipers must worship God in spirit. It doesn't mean you pray in tongues or you speak in tongues while you're worshiping. It's not talking about the spiritual expression of tongues in worship. In spirit is more than that. It means that your life is being directed by the Holy Spirit. He is the one, amen, that is giving you overcoming power. That you are absolutely sincere and transparent. That you are allowing Jesus' Lordship by allowing yourself to be led of the Holy Spirit. The sons of God are led of the Spirit. If you're not led of the Spirit, but you have a blessing come upon you, and you try to call that true worship, God says, no, it is not. It's not true worship till you offer your body a living sacrifice. Can you say, man, the day you do, you'll be led of the Holy Spirit? Can you say, man, not by the flesh, not by your own will, but by the promptings and leadings of the Holy Spirit, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can you say, man, God wants sincerity, He wants integrity, He wants us to worship from the heart and not from the head. I want more than tongues. That's a gift of the Spirit. I want to grow in the Spirit. I want spiritual maturity. I want spiritual growth. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might, what? Speak in tongues and fall out and get blessings. No, that you may grow. Can you say amen? That you may grow. That you may grow. Listen to this. I'm going to read this again for time's sake. We won't go too much further in it, but I just want to read John 4:19-24, because the woman at the well, the first thing she was concerned about after drinking that living water was how to worship God acceptably. Amen. Most people are looking for a church based on the amenities that are offered. What do they have for young people? What do they have for seniors? What do they have for singles? What do they have, is it going to be entertaining? Do they have a great choir? Do they have a great praise team? Do they have a great song leader? Is the preacher going to quit within a gnat's eyebrow of 12? Can you say amen? There's a whole lot of reasons to look for a place of worship, we call it. It is something we call churches, houses of worship and places of worship. But the Bible says that true worshipers must, it's imperative, that they worship in spirit and in truth. That they don't just, remember this we used to play a little game when I was growing up called Simon Says. Five of us would get together, you know, and one of them is going to be Simon. Simon Says, stand up. We stood up. Simon Says, sit down. We sit down. Simon Says, turn around. We turn around. Simon Says, run. We run. Simon Says, stop. Somebody kept running. They're out. Because they didn't do what Simon said. And you try to eliminate everybody. Simon Says. You know, there's a lot of so-called worship that's just Simon Says. Song leader says, raise your hands. Song leader says, let's have a Jericho march. Hey, you got to join in. You're not spiritual if you don't. I mean, it's not too hard. You used to join in the conga line at the club. So just follow these Christians around the building, you know? It's Holy Ghost conga line. You see, some of you have never been to the old clubs anyway. I'm old school, so I talk old school stuff. And we think that's worship. We think that's the whole of it. We don't call for the commitment, deny yourself, take up your cross. Follow Him. In the following of Him, you can really begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But there's no way you can say you have worshiped by showing up at church and following the leader. Because the leader is not the song leader. And the leader, believe it or not, is not the preacher. The leader is Jesus Christ. And He doesn't quit leading when you walk out the door. He continues to lead you. The sons of God are led by whom? By the Spirit of God. That's how we express the Lordship of Jesus Christ, is allowing ourselves to be led of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? We probably said things last week that if we were led of the Spirit, we would have never said. How many will be honest and say amen? Amen. If every word was replayed this morning, there would be some things the Holy Spirit would have said. Ah! I don't approve that. I disapprove of that. You know I do. And you know why I do. So yield it to me. God is looking for commitment, a deeper commitment than the average church service, because we have taken worship out of the God-prescribed context, and we have prescribed a service, and everybody's got their own prescription for worship. But above all, it starts with the heart, and it starts with Him, and it starts with something that is authentic in the heart. And man looks on the outward appearance, so we can put on... You know, one of the signs of the last days is there would be a form of godliness that denies what? The power thereof. Literally, the power of living a God. There's power in this thing. You set yourself to obey God, all of the resources of heaven will become yours. And this, I can't do it, amen, has to go out the window when all of those resources are made available by the Spirit of God. You have to take an I can attitude once that happens. Paul said, I know when I set myself to truly follow Christ, amen, I can do all things. I'm going to receive the strength I need. I'm going to receive the grace I need. Amen. All you have to do is will to do His will. God will provide the wherewithal. It's God that worketh in you. The God that created heaven and earth. Think about it. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Can you say amen? What God wills when you say yes, Lord, amen, He's going to give you the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not just power to run around the building. Not just power, amen, to fall out in the Spirit. Not just power, amen, to speak in tongues. These are gifts of the Spirit. You shall receive power. The Greek word is dunamis. And the word dunamis means miracle, working ability, or supernatural ability. Can you say amen? Only way to love an enemy is to love him supernaturally, because it ain't natural to love him. Oh no, it's not. Even in your best Christian attempt, it goes against the flesh and against reason and logic. Every bad feeling you have toward him or her is justified in your own mind. But you can't hold it, because God won't let you. Amen? So we ask Him for help to overcome. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is there to give us the help. He's one called alongside to do what? Help. God said, I don't expect you to do this on your own. I expect you to receive the help that I'm sending you. Can you say amen? And you'll be what unto me? Witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. They went down with the Holy Spirit to help them, and they walked out the Christian life. And they did it in a place called Antioch. Can you say amen? The church began to behave what they believed down in Antioch. And you know what? They didn't go down and announce that they were Christians. They were first called Christian. Where? In Antioch. Can you say amen? The people that saw them said, you know something? They're walking like Him. They're talking like Him. Can you say amen? They don't just go to the first church on Sunday and then blend with the world the rest of the week. They're walking like Him. They're talking like Him. Why, they're like Christ. They are Christ-like. They are Christian. Can you say amen? It's not a generic term placed on everyone that goes to church. It is a term, amen, reserved for those that are the true followers of Jesus Christ. Somebody give God the glory in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And the world put the title upon them. Bible said, and that fulfilled Christ-like spirit, didn't it? Bible said, don't speak well of yourself, let others do it. Don't honk your own horn, let others do it. You got to earn that. You got to merit that. You got to live something that others see. Amen. That they will honor you by acknowledging not your sinless perfection, but that you are indeed a follower of Jesus. You live close enough to people, you're going to see their flaws. Mrs. Graham knows Billy's flaws when she was alive. Ruth Bell knows he has flaws. He's the first one to admit it. Billy Graham said, when I get to heaven, He said, I fully expect an angel to run up to me and say, aren't you? I know you, aren't you? Yeah, you are. You're Ruth Bell Graham's husband. Because he gave credit to the support of his wife for his success. He gives credit to God primarily, but secondarily that she, behind the scenes, keeping a low profile, and yet she contributed every day to his life so he could stand and preach the gospel. And he says, I believe she's going to be more honored than me when I get to heaven. Incredible humility from a man who had the right and the natural to brag and boast about his accomplishments. You know what he said, and I appreciate his humility, when they took him into this building they built in his memory, he said, it's like attending my funeral before I'm dead. He looked around at pictures of great crusades and his picture preaching all over the walls and telling how many souls had come to Christ and that he was the minister to presidents. There was a time when presidents would allow a minister to influence them, and now they want to distance themselves from every minister because they know the voting bloc out there is not too fond of Christianity anymore. And they need everybody, not just the Christians, to vote for them. And they distance themselves from ministers on both sides. Even if they call themselves people of faith, they distance themselves from people like me. Of course, there's a lot of people do that, not just politicians. Somebody said, well, I have to give up my worldly friends when I come to Jesus. No, just live for Him. They'll give you up. Can you say amen? They'll absolutely do it. You'll convict them. They'll either come to Christ or they'll get out of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. They won't want to be around you because it's convicting. And you, not because of you condemning them either, just because you live a life for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But when Billy Graham looked around that room and he saw all those pictures, he said, there's only one thing I see wrong with this. He said, there's too much in here about Billy and not enough about Jesus Christ. And I thought, that's exactly what God looks for. He looks for a humble heart. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will what? Not because you're self-exalting, but because you're actually self-abasing. He will exalt you in due season, in His time, according to His eternal purpose and will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So I don't want to spin my wheels. I want to worship God acceptably. How many want to worship Him acceptably? Amen. Someone said worship as a means of grace means that we make space in our lives for the work of God's Spirit. You see, worship was never meant to be an end in itself. Worship that is done in spirit and in truth does not end with the benediction. It begins. True worship motivates the person of faith to live their lives, every day of their lives, as an act of worship unto God. Listen to this. Whatever you do in word or deed, I want you to see worship in your daily life so it's qualified for Sunday. Whatever you do in word or deed, everybody say, everything I say and everything I do. That pretty much covers that, doesn't it? Everything I say and everything I do, whatever you do in word or deed, if you've got some salacious gossip on somebody, you can't worship God by calling somebody up and having the great joy and satisfaction of sharing it. Whatever you do in word or deed, if somebody has hurt you and you want to get them, let's malign them and kill their reputation. Let me tell as many people as I can about how dirty and sorry and low down they are. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. Everybody say, to the glory of God. Is that in your Bible, New Testament? Is that for us? Why? Because worship goes out that door. Worship has to be intertwined and interwoven into our daily life. Worship is not a Sunday morning thing. Worship is an all-the-time thing that qualifies what happens on Sunday morning or disqualifies it. I can't bless men, curse men, through the week and bless God on Sunday. The Bible said, you bless me and you curse people who hurt you, who failed you, who you don't like. He said, you can't do this. You can't bless me while simultaneously cursing them and expect me to receive your blessing. Bitter and sweet water doesn't flow from the same fountain. Well, where does the sweet come from? Our reborn spirit. Where does the bitter come from? Our unconquered flesh. Everybody say, my unconquered flesh. Honey, I want to give you an incentive to conquer this flesh. The Bible says to crucify it with all of the passions, desires, and lusts thereof. And that means to say no. I preached at a Baptist church in Plant City on homecoming. This was a men's day. This was a men's service. But I had preached a kind of a homecoming pastor appreciation service before they built a new sanctuary. Amen. On Ball Street in Plant City, they built a huge new sanctuary. One of the deacons worked with me. And I got to go and preach for the pastor's appreciation homecoming service. And I was asked to come back. Believe it or not, I was asked to come back. And I went to preach at the men's service on a men's Sunday afternoon, and it was just for men. It was just so I got a manly scripture ready. I opened the Bible and I saw where it said that God said I'm going to get rid of Saul, but I'm going to find me somebody else to be king, and I want him to be a king under me. Amen. So I'm going to look for a man, amen, that won't exalt himself, and a man that's not filled with pride, and a man that will obey me. In fact, I'm looking for a man after my own heart, not what the people would choose, but what I choose. Hallelujah. So I had the theme, and I thought it was pretty good on a men's day. I'd prayed about it. Amen. A man. How to be a man after God's own heart. Living godly, amen, in an ungodly world. Becoming a true man of God. Boy, I could just feel my muscles starting to strengthen. Every man was going to get a hold of this. Now I thought I got a manly message for manly men. To challenge them to truly be godly men and follow Jesus and be a man after God's own heart. I mean, what kind of... It's the best men's message I ever heard if I did preach it. But I didn't get to preach it. Because when we came out for the service on the platform, there were more women than there was men. Because the women asked the pastor, can we come? And he said, well, I guess you can come. I don't see why you couldn't just come and be there. It's men's Sunday, but you can come. So they came and there was more women than men. And I'm sitting up there with my manly message. Amen. And I see all of these women. Well, I didn't figure I needed to change the message. I figured I'm going to go ahead and preach the manly message. It's Men's Sunday. Amen. So I wanted to make some opening remarks before reading the scripture. Had my outline out and my Bible scriptures marked. And it was going to be an exciting men's service. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move while making the opening comments. The Holy Ghost came and said, that's not the message. I won't let you preach it. And I said, if you ain't going to let me, I'm not going to try. It's one thing I've learned. If he don't pour it on me and pour it through me, I'm not going to try to override him and give what I think is right. I've learned that much in 35 years. Took a while, but I figured it out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God moved on me, and he took me over to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life according to the will of the flesh, but according to the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And I begin to preach, amen, about the weakness of our flesh and the need to overcome it. And how we suffer in the flesh, amen, is when we say no to things that the flesh really wants to do. Can you say amen? The flesh says, I want to get back. The flesh says, I want to get my piece of flesh. I want to get vengeance. And I've got every right to. But we follow the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and we say no to the flesh and yes to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the teachings and example of Jesus. And the day that I say no to the flesh, my flesh suffers not getting its way, but my spirit has complete freedom to follow Jesus Christ. He that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Be led of the Spirit, that you no more live your life to the what? The will of the flesh, but to whose will? But to the will of God. My flesh has a will. My God God has a will. The only way to obey God when the flesh has a contrary will is to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah! And everybody has wanted to before. And when you didn't do what you wanted to do, you see, the sanctification doesn't mean you're going to come to the place you don't want to. It means you're going to come to the place that even if you want to, you don't. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that? It's okay to want to as long as you don't. Somebody say, it's okay to want to as long as I don't. I wanted to slap somebody one day. And I thought I'd lost the victory. But I didn't do it, so I got the victory. Honey, there's no such thing as overcoming temptation if you think you can live above being tempted. I wanted to tell somebody off one day. But I didn't. And on that day, I won. There was another day I did tell them off. Then I had to go back and apologize for telling them. And that's God's forgiveness and their forgiveness. I don't win them all. But I get up when I fall down. Amen? That's Christian victory. Make no mistake about it. That's Christian victory. That is Christian victory. I said that is Christian victory. I remember a preacher that's on television. He has tens of thousands of people watching him. One crusade while he was preaching, he thought the sound man was messing him up. Sound men, there was two up there, two or three operating all the sound equipment, and they had television cameras going, and this was supposed to be taped for TV, and it went squealing on him, and it put him in a, sound like it put him in a can. You know how it sounds, how it can sound. And he said he was getting angrier and angrier while he was preaching, and he was getting more upset and more frustrated with them, and he thought they were messing him up, and he thought they know better than that. Back while he's still preaching, in the back of his mind, he said, I thought they know better than that. They're more experienced than that. Boy, I can't wait till I'm done preaching. I'm going to go up there and give them a piece of my mind. He said, so, you know, as soon as I was done preaching, I didn't shake hands with anybody. I went straight to where the sound men were. And he said, before they could tell me anything about what may have been going wrong, I let them have it. I told them, if you're going to be a sound man for me, you're not going to be messing them dials while I'm preaching. You better quit. And he said, I just went on and on and on and on and on and on. And when I finally stopped to take a breath, one of them said, there's a short in the system. We didn't touch it. So if you want to be mad at the soundboard. He said, number one, I had to apologize to them then and there. And he said, then I asked God to forgive me. But he said, after asking God to forgive me and them to forgive me, he said, on the way home, the devil showed up and wanted to strap that on me to where I didn't feel like I was worthy to even go out and preach again. You know what the Bible calls the devil? And it doesn't mean we shouldn't respond to conviction, but we should reject condemnation. There's a big difference in God convicting you and the devil condemning you. The devil wants you to give up and quit. God wants you to get up and go on. Everybody say, the devil wants me to give up and quit. Everybody say, God wants me to get up and go on. Hallelujah. You're going to have to listen to one of those voices. It doesn't mean you won't be convicted if you've done wrong and you need to get it right. It means you need to get up then and go on. Somebody say, get up and go on. If you get up and go on, you haven't failed. You didn't hear me. I said, if you get up and go on by repenting and asking God for forgiveness and strength to overcome and asking people if need be, you have not failed. No, you have not failed. You only fail when you fail to get up and go on. And fail to repent. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said the devil tried to strap that on me and scream at me, how can you preach to others? And you lost it. Your attitude isn't correct. You should be stronger and better. You ought to throw that Bible down. You ought to crawl off somewhere and forget about your ministry. You're no good. You see, look at you. How dare you stand up as an example to other people when you blow it yourself? You just need to quit all of this sham. You're a hypocrite. He said, if you don't believe the devil is real, just listen to the screaming voice that comes when you fail. You'll find out there is an accuser of the brethren. But he said a scripture came to him out of Revelation chapter 12. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto the death. And he said, devil, I love Jesus with all of my heart. Sometimes I fail him, but I do love him. I want to go on record as letting you know I would die for him if it comes to it. Can you say amen? He said, and secondarily, I am washed in the blood of Jesus, and I plead that precious blood for everything that touches me. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I have a testimony that through his blood I am cleansed. Through his blood I am forgiven. Through his blood, hallelujah, I overcome you. And his sound men respected him after that. They saw his weakness. They saw his flawed flesh. And they saw his sincere repentance with tears. And he learned something about himself, that no matter what kind of holy anointing is on you to preach and how many victories you've won, you always have to acknowledge the weakness of your flesh. You always have to overcome it by trusting God and looking to God for strength. You never become so sanctified. The flesh is not an issue. It's a constant issue. Paul said, I daily sanctify myself. I set myself apart unto God every single day. There's not a day goes by I don't acknowledge my flesh is weak, but my Lord is strong. I love the old hymn way back in my dad's day. I am weak, but thou art strong. We don't want that confession anymore. Honey, that is our confession. That is the truth. I am weak, but he is strong. My victory is all wrapped up in him. Jesus, keep me from all harm. Close to thee. Real faith focuses on Jesus and the grace of God, not your personal overcoming ability. Your victory's in him. His grace sustains you. His mercy overshadows you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. None of us. We're progressing. We're getting better at overcoming. Amen. We're moving forward in the faith. I thought at one point in time that I wouldn't need God as much as my faith grew. That as my faith grew, I would be more dependent on my faith, and faith would handle everything, and I wouldn't need just to cry out to God as much. I found out it's the contrary. The more you really grow in faith, the more dependent you are on God. The more you see without him, you're nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. Can you say amen? The great faith of Scripture is faith that absolutely confesses all our strength means nothing. And it's only his strength, amen, that can give us overcoming victory. To them that have no might, he increases strength. That's Old Testament. And it was walked out, Asa and Jehoshaphat, basically the same thing. When they saw this great army, amen, assembled against them, that they said, Lord, here's that confession. Here's a confession of faith. Amen. Listen to it. We have no might to go out against this enemy, but our eyes are on you. And the moment he said that, a prophet stood up in the congregation and said, thou shalt not have to fight at all in this battle. In other words, your strength is not an issue, for the battle is no longer yours. The battle is the Lord's. Can you say amen? And Paul said in the New Testament essentially the same thing. Amen. There was given to me an emissary from Satan to buffet me. Amen. I prayed 3 times that it be removed, because every time I turn around, a trial comes. Something happens. Amen. It keeps me praying, seeking, depending on God. I just have to keep crying out. So I asked the Lord, remove it from me. Amen. And nothing happened in answer to that prayer. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, amen, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in weakness. He said, so I'm going to take pleasure in the things that I once thought was going to be such a pressure that it was going to overcome me. Amen. He said, whatever weakens me and brings me to the state that I can receive His grace and His strength is really what is truly making me strong. I acknowledge my weakness, but simultaneously I acknowledge His grace and strength. Can you say amen? Don't let positive confession make you a big shot, because you're not. He's the big shot. You're not the big cheese or the little cheese or any cheese in between. You're not provolone or Swiss. Can you say, man, you're no cheese at all? God is God and we are flesh but flesh, and He has mercy on us because we are but dust. And when His victories come, they are so sweet. Hallelujah. So I preached at the First Baptist Church. How to overcome the flesh. Remember telling, how many's ever wanted to in here? You ever had the want to come? You'll never get to the place you won't want to. You can get to the place where you don't, when you know it's going to lead you to sin. And that is Christian victory. That is Christian victory. That is Christian victory. Everybody's had the want to. Billy Graham told the story of a prospector. He got a little bit of gold, enough. You know, it don't take much money to get you robbed these days. They'll rob you for a little bit nowadays. And this robber came upon him out in the desert, and he was made him a little campfire, had put him on some coffee. He had this mule and with him in the pack mule, and he'd taken and unburdened the mule, fed the mule, getting ready to have a cup of coffee. It just got pitch dark, and suddenly a man walked out with 2 guns cocked and ready, 2 revolvers. And he said to the prospector, he said, I want all of the gold that you have. I'm going to take your mule. And he said, and the man thought, while the prospector was sitting there just stunned by it all, he said, and the guy decided to have some fun out of the old man. And he said, you know, he said, have you ever danced a jig on one leg? And the prospector says, no, I haven't. He said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you going to dance a jig on one leg? And he cocked the pistols and pointed them at him. And he says, no, but I've always wanted to. And he stood on one leg and started dancing the best jig he knew how on one leg. And the guy decided, I'm going to make him speed up the dance. And he started firing near his feet with his 6-shooters. And he fired and fired, got so enthused having fun out of the old man that he emptied both of his 6-shooters at his feet and was clicking the guns. Click, click. That means there's no more bullets in them. The guy put his leg down. The old prospector pulled out a double-barrel shotgun from underneath his blanket, pulled both triggers back and aimed it right at the man's head and said, sir, have you ever kissed a mule? He said, no, but I've always wanted to. You know what Christian victory is? Overcoming the want to of your flesh. He that suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind that Jesus had. Mindset. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Arm yourself with the same man. He that suffered in the flesh, when the flesh wants to, and you say, but I'm a servant of the Most High God, and I refuse the promptings of the flesh, and I receive the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? The flesh suffers. You crucify the flesh. You put the flesh to death. There's a suffering going on in the flesh, but there's a victory going on in the soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He that suffered in the flesh is what? Ceased from sin. Sin doesn't dominate him. Sin doesn't rule him. He's not sinlessly perfect, but sin is not the overruling influence in his life anymore. Righteousness is. We used to sing the song, if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, what's going to happen? Victory, victory shall be mine. Joshua, you shall not have to fight in this battle. We have no strength to go against this enemy. We have no might at all, but our eyes are on you. Get your eyes off yourself, your weaknesses and your failures. Get your eyes on Jesus, who said, amen, that through him you could do all things that you can't do in yourself. Amen? There's victory in Jesus, but you got to want it. And you got to acknowledge your weaknesses. You can't justify your attitude. I told them off, but I had a right to. No, you didn't. You gave up all your rights at the foot of the cross. You don't have the right to hold a grudge. You don't have the right. Vengeance is whose now? Is it yours? Is it mine? Are we so righteous we can avenge? No. Who does it belong to exclusively? The sinless one. And that's not you or me. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I've lived long enough to watch God repay some wrong. And I don't rejoice in that. I don't want to see that happen. I want people to repent and get right with him. Can you say amen? It's hard to kick against the pricks, but it's not up to me to defend myself. Hallelujah. Spurgeon said concerning the Word of God and people that persecuted him and attacked the Scripture, he said, I would sooner defend a lion than defend the gospel. Not that he wasn't set for the defense of the gospel by standing up for it, but he said when it comes right down to winning somebody over, winning the argument, making them do right, he said, God will take care of that. I don't have to do that. Lions don't need me to do that for them, and God don't need it. That's why Jesus told Peter, put up your sword. If it wasn't in the will of God, I'd call angels from heaven. I wouldn't use a puny man and his sword for my defense. But God was in it. And that's why he went to Calvary. Someone has said worship was never meant to be an end in itself. Worship that is done in spirit and in truth does not end with the benediction. It begins. True worship motivates the person of faith to live their lives, every day of their lives, as an act of worship to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, the New Testament says, do it to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. We've all failed to do that at some point. God is just challenging us. How many want to stay in a failure mode? How many would like to get out of that failure mode and start winning some victories? That's what he's challenging us to. But he needs you to get up and go on to do that. Can you say amen? To encourage you, not to discourage you more. That's what God is interested in. In fact, God has told his people that he'd rather them not worship at all than to worship him falsely. God is not so much concerned about the act of worship as he is the heart and actions of those worshiping him. Amos 21 through 24 says, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies the incense. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither I will regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. He prescribed all of that, but the heart was wrong. He said, it's all invalid. Take away thou from me the noise of thy song. Can you imagine? He says, if the heart isn't right, I don't want to hear what the choir sings. Take away the song. If your heart isn't right, forget the singing. I'm not going to listen to it. You're going to sing it. I'm not going to listen to it. So you're not worshiping me unless I listen to it. They thought as long as we go through the motions, we're all right with God. He said, you've got to do more than go through the motions to be right with God. Where does he desire truth? The Bible said in the Old Testament, he desires truth in the inward parts. That's given us a glimpse of what Jesus was talking about when he said spirit and truth. You've got to be true to your heart in your worship. You can't be double-minded and have God accept what we say. Remember when he said they come to listen to thee, to Ezekiel, great prophet of God to Israel? He drew a crowd, so he thought he was successful. That's how we generally measure it today too. We measure our success and how many people come to hear us minister. In that case, Jesus was a failure as a preacher. Because at one point, they all left him, but he's 12. Can you say amen? And they were not too pleased with him. Because he said, would you leave me also? He said, where can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. So they came by the hundreds to hear Ezekiel prophesy. And Ezekiel felt, look at him. I'm influencing people for God. I'm fulfilling my calling. And God said, oh, that there was such a heart in them. He said, they draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is still far from me. They come to hear you as someone who plays skillfully upon an instrument. Just like people go to a concert to hear a great pianist, a great violinist, a great bluegrass band. Can you say amen, or a rock band? You prophesy under the anointing and it attracts them, it intrigues them. They even give lip service to yes, amen, hallelujah. But I look past all of that to the heart. And oh, that their hearts were truly lining up with their words and songs of praise. But he said, their hearts are what? Far from me. God always qualifies or disqualifies, but what he sees and knows is in the heart. See the wonderful thing? If he sees the right thing in your heart, even if you've done the wrong thing and you're repenting of it, he's going to help you get up and go on. Aren't you glad man looks on the outward appearance? Sometimes he'll disqualify you, but God says, I'm looking past what they see. And I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at the heart. If you've got a heart for God, all heaven is going to line up with you to help you overcome. And if you have failed him and you feel bad about it, don't disqualify yourself from being used of God. Don't disqualify yourself from his blessing. Don't disqualify yourself from a bright future in the Lord. Get up, get down on your knees, repent of your sin, and then get up and go on and don't look back. Can you say, man, God uses weak people. God uses flawed people. God uses people like you and me. True worship does not change God. It changes the heart of the worshiper. He said, but let judgment, verse 24. He said, take away, verse 23 of Amos 5, the noise of thy songs. I will not hear the melody of thy vows. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. I like the paraphrase. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I won't even notice at your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice and an endless river of right living. Live right and worship God from a heart of true praise and gratitude. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it to what? The glory of God. I'm going to go to work tomorrow, and I'm going to work as unto the Lord and not unto men. Men will, they do, they use me. They absolutely, if somebody's doing a good job, they're going to give them more work. They're not going to give work to the buffalo. What's a buffalo? Have you ever heard about West where the buffalo roam? There are some people, you see them going this way with no apparent purpose. After a while, you see them coming back with no apparent purpose while you're just getting it. And then you see them going this way with no apparent purpose. And then you see them coming back with no apparent purpose. And we call them buffalo. Every shift has some buffalo. The buffalo just roam around. Amen. They come back from a 30-minute break instead of a 15 and say, I got to go to the bathroom. And I thought, you've been gone 30 minutes. Why do you need to go to the bathroom? What did you do for 30 minutes? I guess I ain't going to use my break time to go to no bathroom. I'm going to take some more work time to go to the bathroom. And evidently, when they go to the bathroom, they must read the paper. Because they're going 25 minutes to the bathroom. Buffalo. So we call them buffalo. You know. Because they're always roaming. Anything to get out of work. Roaming around. So when they want something done that they know needs to be done, do they get these lazy people to do it? No, because they're going to roam around and not get it done. Who do they come to? Somebody doing their job and some of their job. Because they know that person right there ain't no buffalo. He'll get it done. Let's ask him to do even more. Boy, sometimes I feel it building. When I'm working, yeah, I told them they work me like a rented mule. Can you say, I'm telling you, and I feel it building, and some of these people are under 30, and I'm over 60, and I'm thinking, I'm going to write AARP. I'm going to call Jesse Jackson. I'm going to get somebody down here on my side. Can you say, man, for the underdog? And sometimes my flesh wants to rear up and say, doggone it. See, I already said doggone it in church. You can see how I have to fight this thing. Amen. I say, what can you say? Let your yeas be yea, your nays. I guess you can't say anything, can you? Makes me want to say, help me, Jesus. And you know something? Be careful what you pray for. Because He will help you. He will help you. He'll help you with that attitude. He'll help you get over it. Amen. He'll help you. Amen. When I see someone with emphysema, someone with diabetes, someone with all these other problems, and I think, Lord, I'm working awful hard. I am over 60. I am taking advantage of, but what I'm doing, here's what brings me through it. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. If I can incorporate this into my worship and say, I'm not doing this for this company, and I'm not doing it so the buffalo can keep roaming. Amen. Even though the buffalo is going to keep roaming, I'm going to leave the buffalo with the Lord. Can you say, amen? But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to bring glory to God, and sure enough it works. I'm going to glorify Him in my deed. I'm going to glorify Him in my words. Amen. While I'm glorifying Him in my deed, well, the boss left early, so all the buffaloes tore off and left me in there cleaning by myself, and I'm cleaning by myself, and a guy came walking through my area and saw me with a mop in my hand, just really working up a lather, cleaning the best I could. Did you know when they see that clean room, they're going to even give the buffaloes credit? You know, they're not going to just say, Bob, thank you for being so dedicated. No, they're not. They don't know. They don't know. All they know when it's dirty or when it's clean. That's all they know. Amen. So I'm in there. I'm not going to get any credit for this, but God is watching. Amen. Whatever you do it heartily as unto men, as unto the Lord and not unto men. For you will be rewarded. You will be rewarded. You will be rewarded of the Lord Christ. Can you say amen? And I'm doing that. And a guy comes through and he stops and says, Rev, why are you doing that? Everyone else is sitting up in the break room. Why are you still down here working? I said, I'm on the clock. He said, they're on the clock too. Why do you do this? I said, because the Bible said, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. The Bible says, well, amen, whatever you do it as unto the Lord and not unto men, for you'll be rewarded of the Lord Christ. And see, he already knew the answer. He said, I thought it was something like that. I knew it wasn't so you could be a brown nose or one of these, you know, trying to get up by chumming up people. Because they don't know you're doing this. They don't care. But somebody's watching. And not only is God watching, But that guy's watching too. So I brought glory to my God with a mop in my hand. Somebody give Him praise in this room. So when I come in here on Sunday morning, I pray what I offer Him. Because I've been glorifying Him in my life all week, that what I offer Him is acceptable in His sight. Because it's coming from an authentic heart that is sincerely committed to serving Him. Hallelujah. And then I feel that strength, that joy, that peace, that rush that comes from knowing I'm in the will of God today. Taken advantage of, taken for granted, but God is pleased with me. Hallelujah. So I'm going to forget the buffaloes for today. Today, I'm going to walk in victory. Can you say amen? How many want to be a true worshiper? How many want to be a true follower? If you do, arm yourself with the same mind of Jesus. He suffered in the flesh, not my will but thine. Where that suffering took place. Every time He said, not my will but thine, the flesh suffered defeat. The flesh suffered not having its way. But the Spirit had complete freedom to follow God. Amen? Do you understand that better? It's overcoming the want to. Sometimes I get tired and weary and I just want to give up and quit. Say, you know, I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the pressure. I'm tired of you know, the pain that comes sometimes with critics, and I'm just tired of all of that. I'd like to be just anonymous for a while. I'd just like to be Joe Christian instead of Rev for a while, and just be a good Christian man and not, you know, have any of the other concerns. But then I feel His pleasure when I preach sometimes, even when people don't express pleasure in what I'm saying. I feel His good pleasure. Amen. I feel what this picture represents. You ought to look at it before you go. Amen. I got backup this morning, even when y'all don't amen. I feel the prophets. I feel the apostles. I feel Jesus near me when I declare His truth to His people in love. Can you say amen? I'm not preaching alone today. There's a legacy that has been left us, and I'm just carrying on that legacy. Praise God. Hallelujah. All heaven backs up His truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All heaven backs up His great truth today. Glory to His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Let's go with this one. Praise God. Number one, I want to awake to righteousness and sin not. I want to arise up, O man of God. Will you stand with me today? It's been a long service, but it's been worthwhile. How many learned something today about yourself and about real worship today? I want real worship. You know what real worship is going to do? It's going to cause that fire to come. It's going to cause that purging fire to come, and that healing fire to come, and that delivering fire to come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Did just tongues come, gifts come, or did fire come? What was that fire? A zeal for God? No, it made them zealous, but it was not zeal. It was the glory, amen, that attends the presence of God that He manifests in their presence. Amen. It was the Shekinah of God that came on the burning bush, that came on them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God has always wanted to baptize in the Holy Ghost and to manifest His presence to us and through us and with fire. Can you say amen? Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God can be manifest. The personal presence of Jesus can be manifest. How many want to suffer in the flesh so you can cease from sin? How many are tired of the flesh causing you to mess up and blow up and give up? Can you say amen? Let's get a mindset that says, you know something, I'm going to crucify the flesh with God's help and grace and mercy. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go on for Jesus. How many got a get up, go on attitude? Amen. Then let's wake up. Get rid of our sleepiness and our slumber. Let's awake to righteousness and sin.